Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Anyway, welcome to ES First. We preach the books of the Bible here. Right now we're preaching in the book of Mark. Mark is, and it's a narrative, it's a story. It's the nice thing about narratives is that you get to kind of follow along. A narrative begins to give you insight to someone's life and how things happen. Mark is one of three synoptic gospels. It means they tell the exact same story from different points of view. And then John is a little bit different. I encourage you to read those as many times as you can throughout the year. I challenge myself to four times a year. I just challenged somebody on Thursday to read them all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, every month. Isn't that good? You never tried that, did you? I was like, I'm just happy with my one verse a day from my Bible app. No, read the Bible. Read the Bible. It is important for you to grow in God, and it will give you insight into who Jesus is. We are followers of Jesus, and so we want to know what Jesus' story is, how he acted, what he said, and how things happened surrounding him. If we can get that internally, it will change us externally. So a lot of times we're trying to change simply by doing things on the outside, when in fact we need to change on the inside, and that begins with internalizing the story of Jesus. Say amen. That was too weak. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, all right. So here we are. We're in the book of Mark, and we are in chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 31. We're going to read it today, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what it has to do with our lives. So here we go. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened and his tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of God that has brought us to this place today, that you'd orchestrate things in ways and in fashion that we can't even explain. And we just thank you that you thought enough about us to get us to hear this message today. I pray that the Spirit of God dives into our hearts in special ways and begins to show us who you are like we have never dreamed. I pray that we would know you in greater ways, that we would believe for greater things, and we would experience you this week and the rest of our lives differently because we were here. In Jesus' name, amen. So there was a woman named Eileen Gerdner. Eileen Gerdner was a mother of two young girls, and they're about 11 years apart, and one had grown up and gone out of the house, and one was about 3 years old. And about this time is when her husband went away to work, and she got report from a police officer who stood up on her doorstep that her husband had died while on this work trip. And so here she was. She had one daughter that was married off, about 11 years older, and one daughter was about 3 or 4 years old. And she was left to raise this daughter with no help. No help. This was a long time ago. It was a time in a small town, farming community. She, as a matter of fact, had never even gotten her driver's license because she had never had a need for it. She had a husband, and she could walk most everywhere she needed to go. She never missed the church service. She was always at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Whenever the doors were open, she was always there. And she raised this young daughter at 4 years old. And slowly over the course of her life, she had gone hard of hearing. And it wasn't too many more years after her husband had died that she became completely deaf. Completely deaf. But it didn't slow her down. It didn't stop her. She was going to be a woman of God and raise her family the way that she knew how. Most people don't know this, but this story is actually my grandmother. And the young 4-year-old is my mother, Nancy Jo Block. The beautiful thing about this story is that my mother is better because Eileen Gerdner stepped to the plate even though she couldn't hear. The amazing thing is that my mother could talk and not even look at my deaf grandmother, and my grandmother could tell what she was saying. It's amazing. And so I thought my whole life that I was actually pretty good at talking to deaf people, okay? And so I would, you know, overemphasize things and like, how are you, Grandma? And she'd be like, oh, I'm fine, you know. Oh. She kind of she did talk like that, actually. She did. It's not an exaggeration. She'd say, how are you? And most people in my family think I do it the best. So if you want to know how she sounded, it sounded just like that. So communication is something that you often take for granted until you can't quite do it anymore. And so Nancy Jo was raised from a young age talking to her mother, even from the side, it didn't matter. She could like read my mom's lips from, you know, like from California to Atlantic City. It doesn't matter. She could read her lips. And so her older sister, who was out of the house, would come back and she would try to talk to their mom. And the funny thing was, is Eileen could not understand a word Betty Ann would say. Not a thing. She would like, you know, she would slow it down. She would repeat it over and over again. She would go slowly. She would go softly. She would go loudly. She would speak, you know, very animated and then, and you know, just try to chill out, whatever. And my mom could, she could be like talking in the car, just like, oh, and you know what happened? And they would have a full-on conversation. No sign language, nothing. Just simply talking and reading lips. It's amazing how in our world, we miss out on the simple things because of distractions. But when your need to hear becomes so valuable that you do whatever it takes to tune in, you begin to create systems to hear according to what your need is. And so here is Eileen. She can't hear, but she knows she's got to connect with Nancy Jo. And so she establishes and understands words. And over the process, she went hard of hearing. So I imagine one day she could kind of hear what Nancy Jo could say. And the next day, not so much. And the next day, not so much. Until it was absolutely gone. It was absolutely gone. But the system of which she created to hear was still there. This is the same way it becomes in religion, because we want to hear from God, and when we're fresh and when we're new, we want to hear from God so clearly. We'll read the Bible, we'll find time to pray, we'll do whatever it takes to get to the place where we begin to hear, until we become so just systemized in how to hear God that we know exactly what we're supposed to do, exactly what we're supposed to think, and exactly what God is going to say to us, that we are comfortable to just exist. And then someone comes in and they're saying something and it's valuable. It could even be your own daughter and you miss it because you haven't developed a system to hear. You've grown hard of hearing, but not just in your ears, but in your hearts. It's interesting how this happens. The amazing thing about this story here is that we have a deaf person and then we have a mute. And I happen to have both in my family. I was actually very close to both. And as a matter of fact, I had a grandma who was completely deaf, no sign language. I couldn't figure out a way to talk to her. And I also have three daughters who are completely mute. They barely talk. They can make noises. They can say certain, you know, kind of words in kind of a way, but they really can't communicate what it is that they want to say to you. And both are equally tough. They create frustration. When you can't hear properly, it's terrible. But I tell you one thing, my deaf grandma never missed a service. There was no sign language interpreter. There was no special hearing aid thing for her. There was none of that. She showed up, and even if she couldn't understand what they were singing, what they were saying, or what was going on, who was saying anything, what the jokes were, why everyone else was laughing, and she was sitting there doing absolutely nothing, she never missed a service. My daughter Avery, she can't say how she feels. And so there's times when she wants you to understand something that she is not in favor of what's going on. Like, hey, we are going to go to McDonald's. And she doesn't know how to tell you that she doesn't want McDonald's. She would rather have Longhorn Steakhouse. Maybe that's me. But here's Avery. She can't explain to you. It's like, it's time to turn the TV off. It's time to go to church. She can't say, I don't feel like going to church. All she can say is, I'm going to throw this couch up against the wall, and here's your stupid controller since you don't want to watch TV anymore. You know, she can't say any of that. All she can do is express to you her frustration with the fact that she can't tell you that she's not in favor of what you have decided for her. And although this passage is about Jesus healing both the deaf and the mute, and I believe with all my heart that he does both and wants to do both. It's not about some, you know, sin that happened to your life. It's not about some system of, well, I just have to put up with this because this, and I'll never ask. I'll tell you this, I talk more about Avery talking with her mouth than I do about her using sign language. I force her to speak more with her mouth than I ever do force her to use a sign language. Even though those are effective ways of communication and they're valuable, I want her to know that I believe that God is healing her vocal cords every single day. When I pray for her, I lay my hands and say, God, fix what was broken in the womb. Go into places, make things fire again that are missing. Every malfunction, everything that is not working properly, fix it by your blood, by your power, by what you do. It'd be hard enough if you have one kid like that, but the chance of having two kids like that in one family is less than 1%. I also have 2 3-year-olds. They're twins. Neither of them talk. As a matter of fact, they had the same syndrome that Avery has called Angelman syndrome. And most people that have Angelman syndrome remain nonverbal for the rest of their life. Mute. Mute. The chances of having two in your family is less than 1%. The chances of having twins where they both have it is less than like 1/100th. Crazy. The amazing thing is that they're born to a dad who believes in the impossible. And although that's the sermon that we could preach, it's not what we're going to preach today. Because I want to preach about the way you are hard of hearing. And the way that when you become hard of hearing, it affects your speech. As a matter of fact, scientists have proven that the way you hear begins to develop your sense of speech. Your ability to talk comes from your hearing. When children are raised very young and in infancy and into toddlers, if they can't hear, they always check. I can't tell you how many hearing tests I went to with Avery. You want to know? I know that I don't hear so good. Because of all those tests, Avery could hear things that I could not hear. I've been to enough hearing tests to know. It's like 1K. I don't know. It's kind of weird right there, 1K. It hurts my ears. But Avery hears really well. They check it over and over and over again. Why? Because we begin to develop systems for hearing to develop systems of talking. As a matter of fact, most of us don't even hear all that well. We have developed an ability to become aware of what's happening so that we don't even listen. Ladies, say amen. Okay. Men, we don't even know. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. What did he just say? What happens is we walk into a room and we see people with expressions of joy and we can hear their voice. People go, ah, ah, ah. He's like, I know, it's crazy. Ah. You know? We can respond back to gibberish that means absolutely nothing because we understand the system of the conversation. We can walk into a room where people are grieving and someone can barely mumble anything and you know the emotion of what they said. You don't even have to hear it all. You just know. And that's from the emotional standpoint. But there's also another standpoint of that we actually take words and when we read them or when we hear them, we can actually begin to not even read anymore. We can just look at something as like if we looked at a light like that one and say, that means Bible. We don't have words that we read anywhere. We have symbols that we look at and then we interpret with whatever word that we want it to become. And this is the curse of becoming a Christian. Because we hang out with other people and they begin to say stuff like, oh, glory to God. And we're like, oh yeah, glory to God. I know what that means. Oh, oh, bless you. And then we're like, oh, I know what that means. Oh, hallelujah. I know what that means. Well, do you? And we take simple things and we begin to interpret it, and we take hearing and we make it into speech, but it's all empty if we don't have it empowered by the Spirit of God. God desires for us to become people who hear his voice, who hear his instructions, who are filled with his love, filled with his mercy, filled with power and abundance and prosperity and provision and everything that he wants for us, so that we can be the people he wants us to be in this world. But we are so content to have heard something that we think we understand, and we go, oh, bless God. We're people who have heard of freedom, but we still live in Egypt. We heard that there's a way to get out of bondage, but we exist in a place. We're content because we've figured out the system. God desires for everyone to hear his voice. Jesus talked about this. He said, my sheep know my voice. The ones who are mine know my voice. Not just my symbols and my patterns, although you will do that. Although you become people of systems, but you'll begin to have become people who hear deeply the voice of God. One thing I love about my dad is he says, one thing I know about my ministry is that I'm marked by hearing and following the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so it's funny, you get like some, I can't tell you how many people, young people who just got saved, 1, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and they think they know everything about the Bible because they've studied so hard for about 6 months. And they come into my dad's office and they're like, I just want to let you know, Pastor, you're doing it wrong. and they just lay out, like, here it says in the Bible this, this, this. And Pastor, with all of his grace and mercy, says, oh, well, thank you. Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind. Well, thank you very much. Okay. 100% of those people have always come back to my dad about 10 years later and said, I'm sorry. I was an arrogant, young, little bleep, bleep, bleep. Doesn't matter what they say in there. But they say that they're sorry. Why? Because they begin to realize that Pastor Block has been hearing over and over and over and over again all of his life. When's the last time you heard from God and banked everything on it? When's the last time you heard from God and like just showed up to a Bible study on Tuesday? When's the last time you were willing to get in your car and just drive to wherever? God, I'll go wherever you want me to. This is what's happening to Jesus. He's walking through these places, and here's in Decapolis, a place of 10 cities. He's just following the voice of the Lord. He says, whatever the Father says is what I do. He even says, I say nothing except what I hear the Father saying. And in our lives, we are so quick to say everything else than what the Father is saying. We don't even have ears to hear what the Father is saying. Most of our conversation goes like this. I sure wish God would say something. That's our conversation. As a matter of fact, what we're hearing affects our speech. We can't communicate exactly what it is, what we feel, what's going on. We can't even get by with any of that. We're like, I don't know. And so we just blurt out whatever. We're throwing controllers and we're flipping couches over. And we're like, I don't know if I can take this anymore. If somebody takes me to Sonic one more time when I just want a Happy Meal, I'm going to lose it. We become spiritual Averys. And so we start listening to whatever it is that comes our way. We start listening to reports. We start listening to voices. And we start listening to conversations and gossip. Whatever it is that we think will fulfill a pleasing moment, instead of finding the true voice of God, which takes us to the place that we need to be to say the things that we need to say. And we live in the perfect peace and place of God. So God comes in. Amazing thing about Jesus is nobody ever really gets this, but like Jesus put his fingers in somebody's ears and then spits in their mouth. That's my Jesus, you know? He didn't have to do that. I mean, he can make fish appear underneath. He can, like, you know, I'll heal your demon-possessed daughter over there. Doesn't matter. I have to show up. She's already healed. Like, he could have just done that to this kid. He's like, hey, come here a second. I wonder if he's like, told Peter, like, watch this. Yeah. It doesn't say he licked his fingers, but I think Jesus might have licked his fingers. And he's like, hey, open your mouth. See if you can, what, you want to see if I can talk? Open. That's my Jesus, man. It's amazing. But a beautiful thing about this whole process is that he takes him. Everybody comes and is like, Jesus, please heal our friend. Please heal our friend. Please heal our friend. Please heal our friend. And they beg and they beg and they beg until he does. And you know the first thing he does is he takes them away from the people who are begging. You feel it? I would think he would want to just show off for the people who are begging. Yeah, because you begged me. Here you go. He doesn't. He pulls them off into the back alley, the sideway, whatever it is. He says, come over here. He takes them away. And most of the time, we solve our problems, we solve our issues by surrounding ourselves with people, which is never the way to solve an issue. You need to have a support group. You need to have prayer warriors. You need to have people that keep you accountable. You need that. You do. But trust me, if Jesus wants to do anything in your life, it's just between you and him. It's just between you and him. Some things in your life will never be healed because you won't come away with Jesus. You for sure won't let him stick his fingers in your ear. And if he dares hock a loogie in my mouth, I'm never following that guy again. Why? It's messy. It's not the way you want it. It's not the way you had in mind. I want to come to church. Like some people like are asking Jesus to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Like, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. I want that whole, you know, crazy Holy Spirit baptism thing. That'd be awesome. Do it right here in my bedroom so nobody knows that I'm weird. You want God to wreck your life, you know, just privately. And the worst thing about having a wreck is that everybody drives by and slows down, you know, like the ambulance comes, the fire truck comes, there's four cars behind you, the news anchors are there, the helicopters are going by, like, I don't know what happened, I think Sam was texting while driving. And there you are. And it's like, I didn't want this to happen, I didn't want everybody to know this is what happened, but this is what happened. And we want God to show up and not change anything. We want God to show up and not mess with our lives. We want God to show up and to, you know, make us different on the inside, but never change the outside, to never change the circles that we are in continually. I told somebody this week, I said, I want everywhere I go to be influenced by what I bring to the room. I want rooms that are full of despair to experience peace. I want situations that are full of hopelessness to experience faith. I want places where there is no joy to experience joy just because I show up. Just because I show up. Because of what God has done in me. Not because of, you know, the choices I make. Like, hey, not because I'm really funny. Not because I can do magic like Johnny. Not because I can play the piano as good as Pastor. None of that stuff. Just because I show up with the presence of God. And that happens because Jesus has taken me away from the crowd. He's taken me away from the crowd. Oftentimes, we are willing to forego and forfeit what God wants to do in our lives because we're not willing to have him change what's going on here. And so Jesus, multiple times, says this. He says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And he would say something like this, they can't hear what I'm saying because their hearts have become hardened. Hardened. They can't hear because their hearts are hardened. And we become hardened by creating systems that make us quicker, faster, and more fluent, but don't make us more sensitive to what God wants to do. We would rather have everything work smoothly How's your day go? Everything went great, just the way I planned it. Really? What did you plan? Well, I planned to get up early, to be at work on time. I planned to have lunch from here to there. I planned to come home, have dinner, be in bed by 8:30, and everything was fantabulous. Awesome. What did God tell you? I don't know. Why not? I didn't think to ask him. I mean, it's been so long that I've been not hearing him. I just thought it was up to me to move on. I just thought for so long that, you know, I've asked him. I remember 21 Day Fast. I was begging God to speak. And he just didn't. So I thought maybe he had nothing to say. We create systems when we can't hear properly. A system of existing, of communication, of speaking back and forth. And so now our prayer life is simply this: God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. If you could just do this. I know I haven't talked to you in a while. Hey, man, send a big shout out to the man upstairs. Whatever it is that you exist in a way of communication where God wants to sit and talk to you, he wants to be the kind of person that you can read his lips from the side. The kind of person that doesn't matter if we have the world's way of communicating. I can hear your voice because I know you. And he says, I want you to hear my voice because you know me. You follow me. You listen to me, but you're hard-hearted. Matthew, is it 13? Matthew 13. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would. Could it be the things that you lack in your life are simply tied up in your hardness of heart? Could it be that there's a message that God wants to tell you so clearly, so wonderfully, so beautifully, that he wants to guide you and direct you all the days of your life, that he wants to be so intimate with you and begin to show you how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he directs you and has been walking with you over and over and over again, but we're simply a generation who's become calloused of heart. God, if this happened to me and you let it happen, then anything you have to say, I'm not sure I want to hear. God, if I have to live like this, then I'm not sure that you're really as good as they say you are. God, if my grandmother was deaf until her dying day, I'm not sure you can really heal deaf ears. If my daughter has to go to school every single day of her life and never be able to communicate with the kids next to her, I'm not sure you can heal anybody. Calloused. God, if I can't find a job, God, if I can't figure out how to support my family, if I can't figure out how to get my lights back on, God, if I can't figure out how to buy that house, if I can't figure out how to finally take my kids on vacation, God, if I can't, we just keep going down the line and we become calloused and hard-hearted because we think that God is not speaking when in fact, God is constantly speaking. It's just that we have the wrong priorities and so we become hard-hearted because we're beggars. We're upset because we didn't get what we want from God when he all along has wanted to give us everything pertaining to our lives. Become comfortable to become people of God sitting in Egypt with a good life. Slaves forever, but never free. Have the best house a slave could have and never experience true freedom. Be the top dog working for Pharaoh and never ever live in the freedom that God has called us to. Because we're hard-hearted. We change what we hear, we begin to change who we are on the inside. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, which means that every time you hear the word of God in your inner man, you become stronger in faith. And we stopped putting the word of God into our heart a long time ago when we became hard of hearing. And so therefore, we have no faith. We're the kind of people who are comfortable to take people with depression and say, I'm sorry, let me help you figure out how to exist with that. People with marital problems and say, I'm sorry, it will never get any better. Let me show you how to exist with that. People that live in fear and anxiety continually, and we say, let me show you how to exist with that instead of be delivered, healed, made new, thriving, moving forward, because we simply forgot what God says. He says things like this: you are a friend of God. It's a hard one, isn't it, Josh? Remember that song came out? I am a friend of God. People are like, you're not God's friend. People were bitter about that. They were. Some of you don't know that, but me and Josh do because we're old school church kids. Had whole debates. It's kind of like the reckless love debate that's going on right now. God's love is not reckless. It's like, what does it matter? I'm loved. And if the enemy can get you to argue about things surrounding the truth of God, then he gets you busy at the things that are not effective for changing your life. And so, you are a friend of God. Jesus said this, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Jesus said that. From the mouth of the guy who died on the cross, rose again, coming back in all of the glory, that guy, the whole world belongs to him, and he says, I don't call you my servants, I call you my. And most of the time, we want to get saved and be like, oh God, thank you for saving me. I just want to be your servant. Guess what? Not an option. You don't get to be like, I'll just be your servant, God. And she's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing me that cup of water, you worthless piece of crap. Serve me more. You don't get that. You don't get to do that. You want to know why you don't get to do that? Because he paid for you to be a son. You want to know why I know that's true? It's because there's a whole story. Jesus tells it from his own mouth. He talks about, there's this guy, his son. He tells the father, give me all my money. Give me my inheritance now. And he goes off to the far country. He squanders it. He realizes that he's messed up. He is far beyond ever deserving anything ever again. And he is eating pig slop. And he comes to his senses. He says, even my father's servants eat better than this. He says, I can go back and be a servant. I'll beg for the opportunity to be a servant to my father. And he comes back, and every day the father has been walking around waiting for his son to come back. And when he sees his son afar off, it means he was anticipating him. It wasn't just a random day. It was every day he was looking for his son to come back. And he sees him, and he runs towards him. It's the most dishonorable thing a father can do, is to hike up his skirt and run. And he runs to find the prodigal son. And he comes back. He says, put on the fatted calf. Get a ring, get a cloak, everything that belongs to my favorite, put it on him. And he says, well, I just came back to be a servant. And he says, my son was dead, but now he's alive. You don't get the opportunity to be a servant. You can serve your father with all the dignity and honor, and you can love him and honor him. Trust me, that's a beautiful thing, but you will never, ever, ever, no matter how many times you tell everybody that you're a down, lowly, dirty servant, you're not. And some of you can't even hear that right now because your heart is so calloused. You're hard of hearing. You're a friend of God. friend of God. Next one, you're adopted. You're adopted. You're in his family, welcomed, dearly loved. He risked it all to buy you into his family. You are a new creation. Oh my goodness, a new creation. I don't feel new. I feel like the same way when I first came to this church, I was gray-headed. I'm still gray-headed. I don't feel like I have the stamina I used to have. I don't know if I'm new. That's just on the outside. I still deal with the same struggles I dealt with before. God said he made me new, but I don't feel so new. I still got these habits. So either you're a liar or God's a liar. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that you're made new and the old obsolete. He says, put on the new, put it on, put it on, put it on. And half the time, we don't have the proper verbiage out of our mouth because we're not hearing the proper thing on the inside. And so the very thing that you say out of your mouth is stuff like this. I'm just a poor old sinner, just the same, still dealing with this thing over and over and again. I'll deal with this the rest of my life. Instead of saying, I'm new. But he says you got to put it on. Put it on. Well, what happens if tomorrow I don't feel new? Well, did you get up and put it on? Or you just put on your clothes for the day? You wake up in the morning and you're like, well, you know what? I don't feel new. What did you just say out of your mouth? The same thing that's in your heart. You say out of your mouth what you hear because speech is linked to your hearing. Your development as a person is developed by what you put inside. You develop systems to exist in the kingdom of God as you begin to hear what God has to say about you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thought that was just a phrase that we used in football. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That he's making me new day by day. That his mercies are new every morning. That means that when you wake up in the morning, like, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Well, guess what? His mercies are new every morning. But you don't say that because you don't have it inside of you. All you have is what somebody else told you at church. Somebody else said, well, I'm just a poor old sinner. You're like, yep, that's me. I ought to start saying that too. The old is gone. How about this? You are a temple of God. You're a temple of God. That Jesus Christ himself lives in you. See, that just seems so cliche, doesn't it? You want to know why? You're calloused. You've developed a system to handle it because you know it's not true for you. What is true about me? I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You got to stop eating KFC every day. How about this? You're created in God's likeness. I wish I'd run the reference for this. Because it's so good. The verse is so good. You're created in God's likeness. I mean, I'm just talking about idea of Genesis. I'm talking about, he says this in Corinthians. I forget the you're created in God's likeness. That you are holy and righteous. He says that right there in that verse. You created in God's likeness, you're holy and righteous. Every time you say you're a sinner, you're not saying what God said. You know what you ought to tell your husband next time he tells you it's your fault? Say, I'm holy and righteous. You're welcome, Maddie. I'm holy and righteous. Next time she says, why are you late? You're always late. You did it wrong again. You just say, babe, I'm holy and righteous. If you want to take it up with God, go ahead. This was the right time for me to be home. Repent. You're the light of the world. Every day you complain about your job, how everybody, every day that you even say, oh my gosh, every day you even say the world is going to hell in a handbasket, the world is not what it used to be. We need to get it back to this and back to that. What you need to know is you need to say this, I'm the light of the world. Duh, the world is a dark place. What's your problem? You're the light of the world. But you don't believe that. As a matter of fact, you think that you're the darkness. Otherwise, you would know that when you walk in, it would be light. You have decided in your heart that you are like them, even though you feel like you're not. Walk in with the light of God. You're adopted. You're favored. Blessed. How about this? You're never alone. Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I had a friend that would say this, something like this. I'm just so lonely. You know what that says to me? I don't know God. I don't know God. Because if you know God, you're not alone. You're not alone. Man. This is what I want to tell you. It's so powerful. It's so powerful the way you hear that it can change the destiny of everybody around you. Moses has been destined for the promised land. He's 40 years in the wilderness. He gets the opportunity to go in. He says, tell you what, I want to take 12 spies, one from each group. We'll make it really diplomatic. Everybody gets one. They'll go over there and they'll spy out the land. 10 spies come back, scared out of their mind. 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb say, let's go over there and take the land. It's ours to take. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. The only issue is there's giants there. There's stuff that we're going to have to tackle. There's some hard stuff. As a matter of fact, the closer we got, the bigger they got. The more we saw them, the bigger they got. The 10 said, no, wait. Let me tell you what we found out. Actually, there's giants and they are humongous. He says, we look like grasshoppers in our eyes. And then they say this, we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. You think they went over there and were like, hey, how do we look to you guys?
Oh, you look like a bunch of grasshoppers.
No. They determined the answer before they ever, ever had the opportunity to try. But Joshua and Caleb say, God will be with us just like he was before. And they go back to 1 million people and they give this report. And Joshua and Caleb, let's go. And I can imagine them just running around trying to tell everybody, hey, come over here, I want to tell you something. We can take these guys. And the 10 begin to speak to 1 million plus people. And they all decided that they would not go. They would not go. No, we can't do it. The giants are too big. There's no possible way. We're not going to do it. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. When you begin to speak something other than what God has said. Now, this is the promised land. It wasn't like their idea. Like, I think we should go camp out over there. God said, that's your land. That's your place. That's what I have for you. And in 24 hours... 10 people had so influenced millions that they had to die in the desert and never go into the promised land. Could it be that God has something for you that's so wonderful, so amazing, that is a place filled with milk and honey, is a place of conquering, and you'll go over there and you'll have beauty beyond compare? This journey was supposed to take about 13 days to get from Egypt to the promised land. And they wandered around for 40 years because 24 hours of complaining and saying the wrong thing. We don't want to say that because we want, well, I don't know if my words are really that powerful. You bet your lifesavers they are. Even non-Christians know your words are powerful. You know who told them that? God did. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is the most powerful thing that you have. Job says, thou shalt decree a thing and it will come to pass. If you're not speaking the voice of God, guess whose voice you're speaking? I mean, it's just something I read on Facebook. It wasn't really that dangerous, was it? If it's not the voice of God, it's the voice of Satan. The accuser, the one who will do anything to keep you occupied in a space that is not your destiny. I can't afford to listen to any other voice. I can't afford to harden my heart any longer. I can't afford that. Can you? Can your family afford it? Can your future afford it? Every space you go into should be filled with, I hear the voice of God. I hear the Spirit of God. And if you can't figure it out, you need to get away and learn. You need to shut everybody out and learn. You need to unplug the TV and learn. You need to go back to a Nokia phone and learn. Give me the Corinthians verse. This is one of the greatest things, I think. As it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. Why wouldn't you want to listen to that? No eye has seen. People are like, I don't know what happened. It was like one day they were just, you know, working here, and now they're like, it's like crazy. One day we were smoking. When I say smoking, I don't just mean your tobacco. I just mean, you know, one day we were smoking. And then the next day, it's like something happened. I used to know them. I used to hang out with them. I used to get coffee with that guy. What's going on? I began to hear the voice of God in my life. It changed everything about me. Would it change everything about you? The next voice, we used to sing this song when I was a kid. I can't remember what it goes. No eye has seen. E flat, how's it going? We sang the song, no eye has seen, no ears heard. No one can see what God has prepared for those who love him. And so we become comfortable to say, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows. But the next verse, which is not up there, it says, but it has been revealed unto you. Would you just say this? Reveal it to me, God. Reveal it to me, Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? There are moments in your life that are undefinable. Become moments where something happened, something moved on, something changed, something shifted. I could take you to a place, a very spot, in April 2017. Something happened. I remember the day. I was sitting there. It's like, wow. Is this your day? Did you become fully committed? Did you become a person who hears the voice of God? A person who begins to internalize and change the what comes out of your mouth? Stop saying all that crap you've been saying and begin to speak the voice of God, because what you hear affects what you say. Can you become the person who begins to communicate with God so intimately that people can't even understand? How can they understand you? I know they've spent time. They're not hard-hearted. They're not calloused anymore. As a matter of fact, when I say drive 2,000 miles to go to a Bible study, they go. What if what's going to happen? Does it matter? God said, go. If you're here today, and your prayer is simply this today, you're asking from God, God, give me ears to hear. God, give me ears to hear. God, give me ears to hear. If that's your prayer, would you just lift your hand up just to God? Father, wow, that's me. Give me ears to hear. Just keep it up. God, I give you my heart. I'm sorry if it's hard-hearted. I'm sorry if it's become calloused. I'm sorry if I've fought too many battles that aren't even mine to fight. I've been fighting the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing, speaking the wrong thing. Everything in my life is just not lining up with what you said about me, that I get to hear your voice. I want that above everything else. I want that above everything else. Let me hear your voice. God, give us Samuel ears in this place. Give us hearts that are soft and pliable, just the way you imagined. And put in us a heart of flesh. Write your laws on our heart. Pour out your love in our heart. And let us hear the voice of God for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give God a praise today?